Thank you so much for those worship songs. I especially appreciated the selection of the songs and their content. It really kind of reverberates with the theme we're on today. And I just want to say I'm really, really thankful for the opportunity to come and share the Word of God here. And I've been prayed for already several times this morning, so I just want to dive in and get right into the Word here. And so just a very quick recap, if you weren't here last Sunday, I am addressing very foundational elements of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the next three Sundays. And we learned last Sunday that if we don't get the foundations right, everything else is wrong. And so there are three elements to the gospel that we must understand if we are to live out our Christian life like God intends for us to live. And we discovered last week that God's intended purpose for us is to do what? It's to reign in life. I mean, what an astounding statement. We are meant to reign in life. And so in order to reign in life, we need to understand the purpose and the function of the law of God as it relates to the gospel itself and as it relates to us. And so we discussed this last week, and you can look at, or you can listen to that. I think the sermon is online. I'm not going to take time to review it because it'll cut in too much to today's time. But so today we come to another foundational element of the Christian life, and it is the topic of sin, or the whole sin question. And not only does Paul say, he said, we found out last week that he said that we are dead to the law in Christ. The law is still very functional and is still doing its work, but we have died to the law through the body of Christ. It's all there in Romans, and you can look at it more. But not only does he say we've died to the law, he also says we've died to sin. Now, there's a profound statement. We have died to sin. And what we understand about sin, if we've grown up in the church, is this, that Jesus died for our sins and has forgiven us all our sins, and we're free from sin, and those are all things we believe. But what I want to tackle this morning is more of an application of this reality, because I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times I don't feel very dead to sin. Can you relate to that? Yes. You know, I have come across people in my ministry years where they have actually come to a conclude that they don't sin anymore. And I've had conversations with them, and they extract from Scripture the notion, which is not an accurate one, that when they received Christ, they could no longer sin anymore. And that teaching is out there, and there are still people that buy into it and line up with it. So what is this thing, sin? And we know that we've been released from the penalty of sin. We've been forgiven our sins. But what about sinning after you're a Christian? Does it happen or does it not? You know, in 1958, following an Easter service, Elvis Presley, believe it or not, he used to attend church, and it actually was a Pentecostal church, and his pastor's name was James Hamill. And here's what Elvis said to his pastor. "Pastor, I'm the most miserable young man you've ever seen. I've got all the money I'll ever need to spend. I've got millions of fans. I've got friends. But I'm doing what you taught me not to do, and I'm not doing the things you taught me to do." That says a lot. And I think many can relate more to Elvis's predicament than the notion that we are sinless as Christians. Well, before we can reign in life, and that is our goal, we need to answer this question about sin in my life today as a believer. It's not something we often tackle, but it's something that we need to tackle, and we need to understand it so that we can reign in life. You know, Arthur Conan Doyle, you know, the author who wrote the Sherlock Holmes mysteries, brilliant man. He played a prank on 12 of his friends. And what he did, and each of these friends were very well respected in their own right and in the community. And for the joke, Doyle sent every one of his 12 friends the same telegram. And the telegram said, "Leave at once, all is discovered." And within 24 hours, all 12 of his friends had left the country. So what does that tell you? It kind of says that even the most highly respected and those who are kind of seen as virtuous are perhaps less than virtuous when things really get, the magnifying glass gets put out there. Well, we're going to examine the text now. And I want you to journey with me because this is good news. Oh, it's good news. It's such good news. And like last week, we were so released and freed from the law. This Sunday, we're going to walk out of here feeling incredibly lighthearted because we have now come to a recognition of and an understanding of sin and how we are relating to it in Christ. So let's turn to Romans. I'm going to read a bit of scripture today. So this is kind of heavy. This is a heavy text. It's not, you can't kind of skim through this and get it all. In fact, it's more like looking at a crossword puzzle. You know, you're doing a crossword puzzle and you get a few words here and there, and then all of a sudden you're just looking at this and you can't figure out what the word is. You're just trying to hardest. And it's kind of like that with this. It's like the more you dig into it, the more depth there is. So let's get to the Romans chapter. I'm going to just read some snippets. And I remember I said we're going from Romans 5, skipping back and forth from Romans 5 to Romans 8. So, okay, let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin's not taken into account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking any command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one who was to come. But the gift is not like the trespass, for if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many?" Such a contrast there. "Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. One sin brought death to all. One man's sin corrupted the whole human race." But then it says, "But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" And then verse 21 and on to chapter 6. "So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This begs a question then. Well, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with him in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Now, having read all that, wouldn't you agree with me that there's a lot there. There's a lot there. And it isn't something you can just kind of put in a nice little package. And it's so comprehensive and exhaustive that it's impossible to bring it all out in one sermon. But let's just go on and tackle a few of the essential things that I want to say this morning. And I'll start with this, the question. Romans chapter 6, you know, the logic kind of went something like this from what we just read. Since God has declared us righteous through the death and resurrection of his Son, and he accepts us as righteous through his Son, why not keep on sinning then? It seems to be a non-issue. Interesting question, isn't it? Because grace has covered all our sin, or our faith in God's grace and God's righteousness as a gift has covered all our sins. So what's the big deal about sinning then? Well, it's a very big deal about sinning, a very big deal. So the question is a rhetorical one, and Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Now, who's the we there when he says, what shall we say then? It's not just the Apostle Paul and maybe a couple of the other apostles. No, it's us. We being who we are. We, all of us who are in Christ. By no means will we continue in sin. We've died to it. How can we live in it any longer? It's absurd to think that we'll go on sinning. God forbid, perish the thought, is what's being said there. We were baptized into his death. We were crucified with him. And there's more to this than meets the eye. And I want to just read from 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Because this is something that we need to, it kind of starts to bring more light into this whole area. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says this. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and will purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, if we take a little bit of a closer look at this, we see a couple of important things here that tie into what Paul is talking about when he says we're dead to sin. Okay, there's two kinds of walks going on in 1 John chapter 1. It says that if we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood cleanses us from all sin. So there's the walk in darkness, and there's the walk in light. Okay? And the two walks describe two realms. They describe two conditions. And so the life of habitual sinning is natural to those who have not the Spirit of Christ within them. And it is walking in the darkness. So people who have not Christ within them will walk in the darkness. And the thing about that is if there are people who have not received Christ and they pretend or claim to have fellowship with God, they lie to themselves. We cannot walk in darkness. We cannot walk in the way of the sinful nature and its dictates and claim to have fellowship with God. They're incomprehensible, inconsistent with each other. And so Paul is saying, okay, if you're walking in the darkness and you claim to have fellowship, you're lying. But he says something else. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. So Paul is saying, well, okay, we're not walking in darkness, but there is this path of walking in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, but there's something that's going on there in that realm of walking in the light. And it's this thing of understanding that there's still sin there in our lives, but we have fellowship with God because we bring those sins to him and he cleanses us from them. We cannot claim that we don't have sin. And then it further says, if we claim we have not sinned, like those people I referred to earlier, we make God out to be a liar. And his word is not in us. Okay, I've made a case for this point, and this is the point. It is clear that we still sin after we are saved. Can somebody say amen to that? I certainly am the first one to put up my hand and say that's been my experience. So being dead to sin in Christ must mean something other than not sinning anymore. Are you with me? Okay, let's carry on. In that text, when it says we died to sin, how can we live in it any longer? The Greek uses the aorist tense there, and that's very important because it states something. It says an event in the past. It's referring to an event in the past. In this context, it's referring to the cross and Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And at the aorist tense, it's saying that it's absolute fact. And so what we have here is the declaration that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and that is an absolute fact. Now, let me just throw out a little question for you. How do you know Like we know that two people were crucified with Christ, right? One was on the right and one was on the left. How do you know that? We know that because the Bible tells us so. The Bible tells us that. It's an absolute fact that two people were crucified alongside Jesus. Well, there's something else that's an absolute fact. Somebody else died with Jesus. It's you and it's I. We died with Christ. It's a mystery, but let's try and see if we can unravel that mystery a little bit more. As we read that passage of Scripture, we see two things, two reigns that are talked about. As we started reading, remember we read that there's a sin reigned. When Adam sinned, it says death through sin came, and in this way death came to all men. And it said death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, etc., before the law was even given. And it's talking about the reign and the realm of sin and death. And then it talks about the reign of grace. The reign of grace, reign in life through the free gift of God's righteousness and the provision of grace. So we've got the reign of sin and death, and we've got the reign of grace and righteousness. And the two have someone at their head. Adam is at the head of the reign of sin and death. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, is at the head or the ruler of the realm of righteousness and grace. The gospel is good news because Jesus came to bring us grace and truth. So the Adamic realm, the reign of sin and death, and the realm of grace, or the reign of grace through Jesus Christ, those are the only two realms for humanity to identify with. You know, when we look at where we're at in life, and we talk to people when it comes to spiritual things, there's only two places we find ourselves. We either find ourselves in Adam, or we find ourselves in Christ. We either find ourselves in the realm of sin and death, or we find ourselves in the realm of life and grace and righteousness. Somebody say, well, I don't really like the idea of being in the realm of Adam or the realm of Jesus. I think I'm just going to create my own realm. Sorry, it doesn't work. That doesn't work very well, because that's what the Bible shows us, that there's two kind of experiences and identities for humanity, either in Adam or in Christ. And this is how now we discover that we have died to sin. And it is this: we've been delivered from the realm of sin and death. We're dead to that realm. Doesn't mean that we're never going to have individual sins anymore. No, that's not the point. The point is this: the translation has happened. Christ has come and invaded the territory of the realm of sin and death. He made a public spectacle of them. He triumphed over them at the cross. He delivered us from all of the consequences of sin and death. We're not part of that realm anymore. We're not part of that realm anymore. We have nothing to do with it. We don't identify with it anymore. We're dead to sin, the realm of death. To illustrate, let me just try and illustrate it in a way. Think, I don't know how many of you are hockey fans, maybe you're not, but let me just give you a hockey illustration anyway. It could be any sports team. But, okay, this summer, the whole hockey world was a buzz because Johnny Gaudreau a member of the Calgary Flames, who's a really elite professional hockey player. He was kind of the star for the Calgary Flames. And to everybody's horror and astonishment, he decided he wanted to be traded, and he went to the Columbus Blue Jackets. So he was a Calgary Flame for I don't know how many years, maybe the last 7-8 years. And he wore that team jersey, Calgary Flames. Well, this summer he took that jersey off and he put a new jersey on, the Columbus Blue Jackets. Now, does he have anything at all to do with the Calgary Flames anymore? No, he's not a Calgary Flame. He's a Columbus Blue Jacket. And that's how it is with us. We've taken off. No, we haven't taken it off. Let me correct this. We have not taken it off. Christ has taken it off. Look at Colossians. Let's see, where are we here? Colossians chapter 2. Verse 13, I think that's the scripture I'm looking for. Okay. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ. Isn't that amazing? We have been given fullness. What does that say? That says we reign in life. Christ, in all his fullness, has been given to us. And then it says, who is the head over every power and authority? Jesus, in this realm of righteousness and grace, Jesus is the head of this realm, but he's also the ruler and the head over every power and authority. And then listen to what it says here. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature. How? How did that putting off of the sinful nature happen? Not with a circumcision done by the hands of men. Not through human effort. Not through good works. Not through not trying to sin. No, that garment was taken off by the one and only Jesus Christ. By the hands of men? No, but with the circumcision done by Christ. So you see this whole thing of being dead to sin? It's something that happened to us through Jesus himself. Such a relief, such a release. I don't battle sin through trying not to sin. Oh gosh, it's a far better way than that. Sin will not have power and dominion over me because Jesus took me out of that realm of death and sin. It's not part of me anymore. Can you imagine if Johnny Gaudreau comes back to Calgary with the Columbus Blue Jackets and starts playing for Calgary? That's kind of what we think when we're, you know, lulled back into, I've sinned again, so I guess I'm still in that old sin and death camp. No, you're not. Of course we're going to sin from time to time. We just confess and carry on, and we rejoice in the fact that we've been delivered from the realm of Adam. And our identity is now newness of life. Newness of life. Wow. Hallelujah. Newness of life in Christ. Sin cannot be my master because I'm under grace. We've been set free from sin and we've become slaves of righteousness. We are dead to the governing principle of sin. So what then? Paul gives us an application. This is actually true of us. We don't make it true by trying not to sin. It is true of us because of what Jesus already accomplished at the cross. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, there's an application here in Romans chapter 6 that I want to draw our attention to before we conclude, and it is this. Paul gives us all this wonderful, wonderful teaching and truth, and then he says, there is a part we play. To be dead to sin. And it is this. Look at verse 11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. There you go. Now we see here something. It is this. Sin is looking for an instrument. Sin is still trying to get us to kind of bow down to its dictates. Sin is still there looking for an opportunity to reign in our mortal body. And here's the part we play. It says, reckon yourself or count yourself to be dead to sin. That's a very interesting term, because it's in Greek, it's a term, it's an accountancy term. It means put it in the right column. You know that in accounting, that if the figures end up in the wrong column, things don't reconcile. Put it in the right column. And Paul is basically saying we have to reckon ourselves dead to sin. We have to keep ourselves in the right column. And there's basically these two columns, or two realms, like we were talking about earlier. The realm of righteousness in Christ and the free gift and the grace given and the joy and the liberty that is there. That's the column that Christ has brought us into out of the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness is the other column. So we're in the column of light and truth. We're in the column of Jesus Christ. We're dead to the column of darkness and bondage. So Paul is saying, when those moments arise, don't put yourself back in the column where you don't fit. It's not you anymore. It's not your identity. Keep yourself in the right column. So how do we deal with, okay, well, I've sinned. Oh, gosh, I've sinned. Lord, forgive me. Do we suffer condemnation? No, because we learned last week that Christ fulfilled all the righteous requirements of the law. So even when we sin, we get the conviction, and we feel uncomfortable about it. Of course we do, because we're in the kingdom of light. We're walking in the light and in the truth. So we feel uncomfortable and awkward. But it's not so much that we should never start feeling condemnation. We just say, Lord, oh my gosh, I thank you that I'm in the column. I've been drawn out of that column of reign of death and sin. I'm dead to that. And I acknowledge, I agree with you. That's what confession is. When it says, confess your sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That confession, it's not kind of like a, oh me, I'm such a dirty old worm, forgive me, Lord. No, it's not that. It's, I agree with you, God. I agree with you and what you say about me. I agree that your son had to pay an incredibly exacting and high price because of my sin. But thanks be to God that he released me from the judgment of it. And I ask you to forgive me for my falling short of your glory. Thank you. And away we go. Back in the column of light. No condemnation, no guilt. Don't let those things get buried and just try and put them under there and think, yeah, that's all. No, I'll deal with that later. And that's not how you do it. You just rejoice in the fact that you're in the kingdom of light and in the reign of life. So to finish today, I mean, there's so much more to say about sin here, but here's a little thing to summarize. We don't sin less by deceiving ourselves that we are sinless. We don't sin less by trying harder not to sin. We sin less when we accept the truth that we have been translated out of the realm of death. It's no longer our identity. And our identity is righteousness. And look at what it says in Romans. It says, what in Romans 21 of chapter 6, it says, what benefit did you reap at the time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. So that's when you're in a realm of death and you're doing all kinds of sinful acts. And he says, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. You see the different benefits of the two different realms? One realm leads to shame, guilt, condemnation. The other realm benefit, oh yes, righteousness. And the benefit leads to holiness. So the long and short of it is this. We may sin as Christians from time to time. Don't let that trip you up. Don't let that be your focus. Let the focus be, I've been delivered from the realm of darkness, dead to it, no longer has any control over my life. Sometimes it might get a little edge in here and there, but no, I have a new nature. I'm partaker of divine nature. I'm a part of a new kingdom. I have a new king who's got all authority in heaven and earth, who's released me and made a public spectacle of sin and death. I don't know if that makes you feel free, but it makes me feel free. And it gives me such freedom when it comes to this whole question of sin. It gets even better than this. So come next Sunday, because I'm going to do the final leg in this series, and it is on the life of the Holy Spirit in us. That's kind of like the icing on the cake. So let's pray.